Well, it is Christmas. It's a holiday season is upon us, coming up on another major day. And I think it's always good to get some things out. You know, I was born and raised Catholic, and boy, you had to go to confession all the time and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes you didn't sin too much, you make some stuff up. That's that reminds me. No. So I want to get a little something off my chest. I need to confess. It's not that I'm not so much an avid reader. If you've been around a good bit, you've learned that from me. I'm just not very good at reading a lot. But the confession I have to make to you is, when reading, I never really finish a book. I always end one chapter short. I don't know why, I don't know how, but I'm like, I just can't quite finish the book. And there was even a book, Wild at Heart by John Eldridge, that I read about being a Christian man and rah, 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 and all that stuff. And the last chapter is blank. And it says, now you write your own chapter. Which kind of sounds like he had a page, like, you know, quotient that he had to reach, but he couldn't have anything else, so he just added a few pages. I didn't even read the chapter before that, because I knew it was coming. Like, I can't do it. But here's the thing, it's not with fiction. Because with fiction books, I gotta get to the end. Now, there's not too many of those, and judge me not, I've read the entire Left Behind series. Okay, fine, if you want to make fun of me. But I've also read just about every John Grisham novel, because Rachel's father was a hoarder, and had them all in hardback, and we were cleaning out his house, and so I just started reading them. Well, there's no way I couldn't get to the end of those, because you got to know how it turns out. You got to know how it all ends. What comes of the story? What's the culmination of all things? And that's what we're going to look at today. We've been looking at the journey of Joseph and Mary, and the fact that they were called by God to do something amazing. And that they committed to it, even though there was a great cost. But we are blessed today with the opportunity to look at what's the culmination? What comes from it? And as I sit here today, and as we go into his word, I don't want to shock you, but we're going to be looking at some things you've probably read before. And so I'm going to beg you not to sit here and go, oh, there were some wise men that showed up. Wow! That's incredible! I didn't see that coming. There's the old plot twist. You do know their journey. But as we go through this today, I want you to really examine yours. Because everybody gets a calling. And again, your calling is not, I'm going to be a better husband. Okay, I'm going to really take care of my parents. You know, that's your obligation. No, your calling is something that God is asking you to do. To further his kingdom. To do something on his behalf. Each of you have that. Whether or not you know it or not, that's up to you. But there is a calling. And yes, there is a cost. But I beg that you would commit to it. Because you're going to see what will come of it as we look into his word today. And before we do that, let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for each person that's here. I'm excited that they are here. And I do pray that they would hear from you this very morning. That they would be able to focus on you gently whispering into their ear and speaking into their heart. And that they would leave here differently because they have been with you. We love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Open your Bibles. If you don't have one, there's one in your pew. If you don't want to do that, I'll read mine and you can just listen. Luke chapter 2. And we're looking at what comes of Joseph and Mary agreeing to give birth to Jesus. They were called to do that. So they did it. What comes of it? So let's start in verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Stop there. God called her to give birth. And what happened? She gave birth. Okay, let's not gloss over the fact that she's giving birth to God. That the Holy Spirit came upon her and impregnated her. Without any normal relations, as it were. If you decide to follow God's calling on your life, And again, I'm not telling y'all to go into the priesthood or the ministry. You're all in ministry, whether you know it or not. Everybody has two ministries. It's who you do, or excuse me, it's what you do, and it's who you are. Hello. You're in ministry already. I'm saying when God is calling you, it's what does he want you to do now? What does he want you to do here? Who does he want you to go after in this moment? And if you choose to do that, you will see miracles. This is a baby born from nothingness. No natural way. If this is where we ended today, that's amazing. And you will see great and mighty things. But we have more. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." So here they are, these shepherds. They're out in the field. Joseph and Mary, were they in charge of them? Were they in charge of letting them know what was going on? Did they have a to-do list? Make sure that we send the angel? No. If you decide to follow the calling God puts on your life, he's working elsewhere. It's not all about you. You can trust that he's doing great things outside of your realm. It's not all about you. In fact, it's very little to do with you other than your obedience to him. Here he is. Joseph and Mary are doing what? Well, they're giving birth. They're a little consumed. And then over here, God is working with these shepherds and the angel. And we find a heavenly host that says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They were told, "You're going to give birth, and his name is going to be Jesus, and he's going to be the Savior of all men." They find out very, very early on, they just got to do their job. They just have to take care of their business. Here they come looking for the Savior. They didn't have to tell the world who the Savior was. The world knew. God is taking care of that. If you follow him, he is doing many things around you. It's not all about you. You can trust that he's doing miracles. So what happens? They hurried off. Verse 16. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Mary and Joseph follow God's calling, and the shepherds glorify and praise God for what they have seen. Hold on to that, and let's go backwards to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Magi, wise men, kings. Some pretty important people. And they came from the east. Now, you can do your own research. You can look in your commentaries, and you can find out who exactly were these magi. Who were these wise men? And there's all different kinds of theories. And the closest to being in the game, if you will, or some say they were Hebrews from Yemen, so that they sort of understood. But guess what? They're from the east, which means they're what? Not from there. They weren't Mary and Joseph's neighbors. They were from somebody far away. When you follow God, what can you expect? An impact far beyond what you would ever imagine. Far beyond. It's Joseph and Mary giving birth in a manger, and kings roll up. That's amazing. Have you ever followed God's calling and said, "I can't believe that this has just happened. I can't believe they care. I can't believe that person knows what's going on. I can't believe that person said they were blessed. If you haven't had that, I'm sorry, but you will. That's one of the things that comes from following Christ. The impact is far-reaching. So they asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. Whose star? The star that Joseph and Mary put up in the air so that everybody would know? No. It wasn't like, hey, honey, did you remember to put the star out tonight? We want to make sure the Magi. We can rest and know that God is doing things for us in our calling. We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. We're going to skip Herod's hissy fit because we talked about that before. King's not happy that there's a new king in town. Let's go to verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had been seen in the east, and it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When you follow God's calling, people will be full of joy. They will see things that you do. They will see things that you accomplish, and it will bring them joy, just like this brought them joy. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. So the shepherds were there, and they left, praising and glorifying God. We see here that these kings, who are a big deal, because you don't get to be a king unless you're a big deal, and that's some good theology and commentary research. They come and they bow down before him and they worship him and they present him with gifts. Now you can sit here and say, Jay, you just said there that people would be joyful. Well, I don't know. If you look at this calling, well, you know, earlier you said this. Let me tell you, there's two absolutes. And I want you to leave here today with two absolutes. That if you follow the calling that God has placed on your life, number one, God will be glorified. God will be raised up and God will be glorified. The shepherds did, the Magi did, and if we look up through all of the Bible, God is glorified. You will not necessarily get your way. Many of you know my story. When Trey was diagnosed, I came up with a decision. Do I keep it in or do I let it out? And I said, look, God, if you've given me this problem, if you've given me this condition, you must be ready to bless somebody. So let's do that. My father, as you know, is in the hospital. My brother and I just spent a good bit of time talking about the times we've been there in the darkest of times. And my brother looked at me and he said, Jay, you and I are different. I kept it all in. He goes, you tell everybody. And he almost makes fun of me a little bit, but that's okay because we're brothers. I said, I know. And you know what? Did I get my way? No, I didn't. Did it go every way I wanted it to? No, it didn't. Was it fun for me? No! But was God lifted up? Yeah, he was. Was God glorified? Yes, he was, and he still is. We don't get what we want, but God is lifted up. And that should be somewhere way in the back of our minds what we really want. And the number two thing that you can guarantee is going to happen when you follow God's calling on your life or in a given moment is that needs are going to be met. And you sit here right now and you go like this. What are you talking about? I didn't see that. What needs were met? Joseph and Mary followed what God called them to do. And they had hardship and they had tough travels and social shame. They gave birth in a manger. Shepherds. Magi. Where's the need? Because they followed God's will. Because they followed the calling that God put on their life. A Savior was born. The greatest need that has ever needed to be met was met that very night. We now have the opportunity for eternal life, for a relationship with God that was broken by our sin. If we can just come and say, Jesus, you died for me. Well, before he died, he was born. Because Joseph and Mary accepted that call. And the needs of millions of people to have a Savior was met that very night. And when you follow God, when you follow the calling he puts on your life, somebody's needs are going to be met. Whether it's this need or any other.
It doesn't stop.
It always happens that way.
God is about loving. How do you love? You meet people's needs. And he will do that to and through you. And he will be glorified in the process. And so I ask you, are you going to commit to the calling? Are you even going to consider the calling that he's putting on your life? How do I do that, Jay? Sit down, shut up, and pray. And say, God, what? Who? Where? When? Now? Okay. And you will see him be glorified. And you will be used by him to meet needs. Or you can just say no. You can come and sit and smile. I hope and I pray that you would consider what God has called you to do. And that you would commit to it despite the cost. And the culmination, my goodness, you will be blessed. And so will many others. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you that you don't leave us alone. Thank you that you call us to share your love with so many who need it. Lord, I pray for each person that's here that if they have never considered a relationship with you, that as we enter this Christmas season, that Jesus would be born into their heart this very morning, and that they would commit their lives to you, because Jesus, you died for them. Lord, I pray that we would be able to be still and to be quiet and to hear that still small voice in our heart encouraging us, guiding us, and directing us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.